Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Their most important bill that they're moving, that you talked a little bit about, H.R. 1, is about protecting them, not helping the American public. They want to take taxpayers' money, the hardworking taxpayer, to use it on their own campaigns. They want to change election law so they can change the system so they would be guaranteed that they would always win. They want to have a czar that would take away free speech and what's happening in campaigns. This is the most important thing to them, to just hold on to power.
So H.R. 1, there's Kevin McCarthy discussing the Democrat-backed H.R. 1 that has passed the House, and now the Senate is taking this up. A lot of concern surrounding this bill that's hundreds of pages long. I go back to what Jim Jordan, we played this on the show yesterday. Jim Jordan said, you've got this massive bill here in front of us to vote on, and you're saying it was a flawless election, yet you're talking about all these concerns you have about election integrity. What is in H.R. 1? What's it about? What is it trying to do? And what will it actually do? That's why we have Zach Smith on right now. He is a legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation, and he's going to talk to us a little bit about the narrative that's been out there with H.R. 1, as well as what it would actually do. Zach, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming back with us. Good to have you here.
Of course. Thanks so much for having me on, Annie. I really appreciate it.
So what do you want? What are the things that you want the American people to know about H.R. 1 and what's at stake if the Senate decides to pass this, Joe Biden signs it?
Well, how much time do you guys have? Because unfortunately, you know, Kevin McCarthy is right. This is approximately an 800-page behemoth of a bill. And so just to get through it, to find out what's in it, really requires a lot of time and is a slog in a lot of ways. But, you know, if there's one point I want to emphasize, it really is the radical nature of H.R. 1 and how it would fundamentally transfer a lot of the election rules and procedures from being set at the state and local level to now being mandated by the federal government. And so just to give you an idea of what is in H.R. 1, what it requires, it would prohibit many common sense election integrity measures. States could no longer require photo ID to vote. It would require states to allow same-day voter registration. It would require automatic registration of all individuals from certain state and federal databases. This means that non-citizens, other ineligible voters could be used. It would also prohibit states from requiring voters to vote in their assigned precincts. It would mandate no-fault absentee ballots to be sent to voters. And it would also prohibit states from requiring things like a witness signature or a notarization to ensure the integrity. It would require states to automatically restore the voting rights for all convicted felons, require states to accept these absentee ballots up to 10 days after Election Day. It would require vote harvesting, essentially allowing third parties to collect mail-in ballots and deliver them to election officials. It would prohibit election officials from checking databases to remove ineligible voters. And the list goes on and on, along with other structural changes as well. But it really is a radical bill that would really, in my view, flies in the face of common sense by prohibiting a lot of these voter integrity measures.
Zach Smith is legal fellow at Heritage. Everybody on both sides of the aisle acknowledges that 2020 was a weird election, not just because of the outcome, but because of the ways that you're talking about. The certain states, and they were different all over the country, did things differently in the name of COVID. Is H.R. 1 going to, first of all, take those things that were done in a pandemic and make them permanent? And then second, is it doing it to all states, not just the ones that did these things in 2020?
So yes and yes. In many ways, it will take the things like the expansion of absentee ballots, require that for states to allow that, require states to allow up to 15 days of early voting. And then it would impose this nationwide. And if you consider that it's doing these things in conjunction with prohibiting certain measures designed to prevent election fraud, like requiring voter ID, like prohibiting ballot harvesting, that is saying states can no longer take those proactive protective measures. It really is a radical bill. And, you know, I think there's a few other points that are worth noting, too. It would also change the structure of the Federal Election Commission, currently a bipartisan commission designed to oversee federal election law. It would turn that into a partisan body. It would also take away the authority of state legislatures to draw congressional districts. It would establish certain commissions to oversee the, quote, integrity of different branches of the government and processes. And then it would require any litigation related to H.R. 1 or these new requirements, rather than following the standard process of being filed in district courts around the country, it would require any lawsuits challenging H.R. 1 or its provisions to be filed in federal court in the District of Columbia. And so this, you know, unfortunately, this really does seem to be a bill aimed more for partisan purposes than for, you know, securing voting rights or anything like that for anyone.
Oh, so, you know, we heard a lot about after this past election, leading into it, really, how states are to regulate their own elections. I looked up this. I Googled it. So you can you're the constitutional expert here. So Article 1, Section 4, Clause 1, the times, places and manner of holding elections for senators and representatives shall be prescribed in each state by the legislature thereof. But the Congress may at any time, by law, make or alter such regulations. Do you look through this massive 800-page bill and have, you know, constitutional conflict questions that immediately arise to you, or is this in their purview? If they've got enough votes, they get what they want.
Well, I think if we go back to the intent of the Founding Fathers, there's no doubt that they intended, by the plain language of the Constitution, for state legislatures to take primary responsibility for setting election rules and procedures. And so as a fallback, Congress can step in. But if we look at what types of actions Congress has traditionally taken, you know, the reason we have a single election day in November is because Congress has passed legislation requiring that, that everyone have the same election day. If we if you look at why we have first past the post elections, you know, the winner takes all elections instead of a proportional election system. It's because Congress has passed legislation to that effect. But really what H.R. 1 does is something that's unprecedented in a lot of ways, in that it really transfers a lot of the nuts and bolts election procedure requirements, rules, regulations from the state authorities to the federal government. And so that is something that has not traditionally happened, and really, in my view, flies in the face of the intent of the framers of the Constitution.
Zach Smith from Legal Fellow at Heritage on the phone with us. You know, the narrative right now from the left is that they're just trying to expand access to voting for everybody. Well, that's a nice narrative. You know, that's one that I even would like to see happen. In your opinion, is there a way to continue to do that, expand voting and make sure that everybody who wants to vote can, while also making sure that it can be secure? Do bills like this address that?
Well, look, I think everyone wants every eligible ballot that's cast to be counted, and we all want no ineligible ballots to be counted. And so I think that's why you have to balance it. You know, if states are going to expand absentee voting, then they need to, again, take common sense measures that H.R. 1 would prohibit. They need to require photo ID. They can require witness signatures or notarization requirements for absentee ballots. You know, they can check their voter rolls against various state and federal databases to be sure voters are eligible, to be sure they're citizens, to be sure they're not registered in other states. And so it really is a balancing act because, yes, being sure as many eligible voters can vote as possible is very, very important. But it's also very, very important that all of us have confidence in the integrity and accuracy of our electoral process as well.
So two follow-up questions to that. The first is, do you expect it to pass? The second is, if it does pass, is the solution to getting this back into a more constitutional intent type of process to get Republicans, I guess, in elected to change it back? And I guess the third question is, if they pass this, is that even going to ever happen again?
Well, you know, this bill passed, a very similar bill, almost identical bill, passed the House of Representatives last year, and it ran into problems in the Senate. And I anticipate that this bill will also run into problems in the Senate as well, which is good, because I hope senators really stop and consider the dangerous implications and the fundamental transfer of power to the federal government that this bill would require. And so, you know, I really do think, Annie, that this should not be a partisan issue. You know, whether you're Republican or Democrat, you should want secure elections. And so, you know, if this bill is passed and is signed into law by President Biden, you know, my hope would be that the future Congress would realize the error of their ways and pass new legislation, you know, basically counteracting many of these requirements. Of course, that's, you know, maybe a big ask, hopeful thinking. But, you know, certainly the best thing to do would be for senators now to stop, consider this bill, and hopefully not pursue its enactment.
And if the federal government does pass this and it's signed into law, the state legislatures cannot override it.
Well, I anticipate if this does pass, you know, there would certainly be litigation over many of the provisions in this bill, I would anticipate. But, you know, the Constitution does provide that, like you mentioned, Congress can pass laws, you know, contrary to what the state legislatures have intended. But again, this law, H.R. 1, is of a totally different type than we've traditionally seen. And so that would be a very interesting, very prolonged litigation that would likely take place in the federal courts across the country.
Well, Zach, it's a pleasure to have your expertise on this issue, and we'll be watching closely to see what the Senate does here with H.R. 1. And I'd encourage people, I came across the Heritage Foundation's Twitter thread. I retweeted it myself. Follow them at Heritage, and you can see out a whole bunch of different things that had my eyebrows raising a little bit more with each following subsequent tweet. And we're glad that you could break that down for us today, Zach. Thank you so much for the time.
Of course. Thanks so much for having me on. Take care.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.